Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember these amazing words of Ruth. Very familiar words because we read them at weddings sometimes. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if anything, but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is God's Word. Please be seated. As I was trying to think about a way to introduce this sermon on the amazing life of Ruth, I came across a Facebook meme that kind of did the job for me, and it said this. It said, "We can make our plans, but God determines our steps." And I thought, now that is a pretty good way to sum up the book of Ruth. About the plans of Elimelech and his wife Naomi to provide for themselves and for their sons in the land of Moab. And how God turned those plans into something totally unexpected that would ultimately bring Ruth, a woman of Moab and a pagan, into the family line of Israel's Messiah. Only God could have directed everyone's steps to an ending like that. And so I wanted to take a few minutes this morning to consider how God did this in the story of Ruth. And the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is a little bit of irony in this book, and that is that an Israelite man, Elimelech, would leave Bethlehem to try to find bread for his family in a place like Moab. Because the name Bethlehem means, ironically, house of bread in Hebrew. And of course, you know that Bethlehem is the town where the one who was the bread of life would be born about 12 centuries after Ruth. But because of this famine in the area of Judah, Elimelech and his wife and their two sons leave the house of bread to try to go find bread in the foreign land of Moab. And then to further the irony, Elimelech has decided that he's going to live amongst the very people, the Moabites, who in Deuteronomy chapter 23 had refused bread to the Israelites as they were wandering in the wilderness. And yet, despite this rather odd and ironic choice of a place to go find bread during a famine, this Israelite family was indeed able to sustain their lives for 10 years in Moab. And since we believe that it is God who gives daily bread, even to all evil people, as we say in the Catechism, we recognize that God's fingerprints are all over this story. Even though the future is so uncertain for this family, God is all over it. His hand is guiding this family to Moab for reasons that are totally unknown to them. They're thinking about bread. God is thinking about giving this world the bread of life. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. So during their time in Moab, Elimelech and Naomi's two sons marry Moabite women. That would be something like a man from Freedom Township crossing the Maumee River to marry a woman from Deschler as his bride. But whereas Freedom Township men are not forbidden from marrying Deschler wives, Israelites were very definitely forbidden to marry foreign wives. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the reason is not xenophobia. It's not that they were afraid of foreigners. But God put this law in the place because of the very real possibility, and probably stronger than that, the probability that non-Israelite wives would lead their Israelite husbands away from the Lord. And Solomon, King Solomon, would be exhibit number one. We read in 1 Kings 11 that his foreign wives turned his heart after other gods. And it's for this same reason that the New Testament admonishes Christians not to be unequally yoked in marriage with unbelievers so that we don't get drawn into the darkness of their world. And yet, despite this law, this clear law of God, Naomi's sons made their plans and they married foreign wives in Moab. And yet, despite their disobedience, the hand of the Lord is very much again leading these events, because it was through their disobedient choice of wives that Ruth comes into this Israelite family. The only non-Hebrew person to have a book named after her in the Hebrew scriptures. It's almost humorous, but that's how central she is to the story of our salvation. And it all came about through an act of disobedience. Meanwhile, God is setting the stage for the one who would obey Him perfectly all the way to the cross. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. And as the story continues, all of the men in the family die, so that only Naomi and Ruth and Orpah are left, an Israelite woman with her two Moabite daughters-in-law, and all of them are childless. Naomi's life has turned extremely bitter. Without the menfolk in her life, she is doomed to a hard life of impoverishment and trying to eke out a living on the generosity of others. And when she heard that things had gotten better back in Israel, she decided there was no reason anymore to stay in Moab and that she should return to Bethlehem. Maybe things would be a little bit better for her back there amongst her own people. And so she tries to tell her daughters-in-law there is no reason for them to go with her back to Israel. Because Israel, you see, has this law of levirate marriage. It's in Deuteronomy 25. That if a married man dies without a son, that man's brother would marry his brother's widow, and in that way he would give sons to his deceased brother with all the rights of inheritance. But Naomi has no more sons to give to Ruth and to Orpah. And even if she could have a husband right now and have another son, are these girls going to wait until that boy grows up so that he can become a husband? No. No, no, she says, there's no reason, Ruth, Orpah, there's no reason for you to come to Bethlehem with me. You would be better off just staying here in Moab, in the land of your birth, try to find some husbands, and establish a new life for yourselves. Orpah decided that Naomi was right. She kissed her mother-in-law, and she returned to her people. But Ruth will not take no for an answer. And those famous words of hers, "No longer will the Moabites be my people. Now your people, the Israelites, will be my people. And no longer will Chemosh, the god of Moab, be my god. But now, Ruth, now Naomi, your god will be my god. I will go where you go. Where you die, I will die. I will be buried where you are buried." And because of her steadfast allegiance to Naomi, Ruth is destined to become the great-grandmother of King David, from whose lineage, you know, the greater King Jesus would one day arise with just a little bit of Moabite blood in his veins. Ruth showed a tenacious love for her mother-in-law. But what God is doing is getting the world ready to receive a love even more tenacious, that of our Lord Jesus, who would even lay down his life for us. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. And the rest of the story is just the amazing way that God guided Ruth's steps straight into the heart and into the life of a man of Bethlehem named Boaz, one of Naomi's relatives. In those days, only men were allowed to own land. But with all of the men in her life now dead, Naomi had nothing, which means that the land that had been owned by her husband, Elimelech, has now been lost to the family and would remain lost to the family unless, by law, a close relative would step forward and redeem the land for Elimelech. That is, purchase the land back for Elimelech's family and for his widow Naomi, so that she could once again enjoy the benefits and the bounty and the security of being part of a land-owning family. And that's where Boaz comes in. This close relative of Naomi, who did exactly that. He redeemed the land for Elimelech. And in so doing, he took Elimelech's daughter-in-law, Ruth, as his wife. And not only did he take Ruth, but he takes Naomi into his family. And now they all have security and peace again. And as it happened, Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David, the great King David. And of course, the great King David's greater son is Jesus, from David's royal lineage, born in Bethlehem, the city of David. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. And that is how a Moabite woman became the ancestor of our Lord and Savior. It is a story that is filled with twists and turns, but nevertheless, God's hand is guiding it to the ending that He desires and that He sees long before anybody else knows what God is up to. Now, as I read this book of Ruth again, and you should go home and read it today just to refresh yourself on it. It doesn't take long. But as I read it again, I was struck that it was mostly Naomi that recognizes the guiding hand of God in her life. Throughout this book, it is Naomi who is saying things like, "The Lord has done this," and "May you be blessed by the Lord," and "The Lord has given this to you," and "The Lord's kindness has not forsaken us." You know, I always think of Ruth as the hero of this story. The book does, after all, bear her name. I don't want to take anything from Ruth. She gave up everything she had ever known in the land of Moab to go with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem. She epitomizes sacrifice and faithfulness, which is why we read her words in our weddings. And I don't want to take anything from Ruth. She is an amazing woman of God. But it is Naomi who seems to have this keen sense that God is her constant companion on this journey, and that His hand is always leading the way, and that even when we make our plans, it is God who determines our steps. And it is Naomi's words that express the hope of our lives, that while we may never know from our earthbound perspective what God is doing, we do know that He is determining our steps. Even when our plans are falling apart, He determines our steps. He is, after all, the one who redeemed us to be part of God's family, just like Boaz redeemed the family of Elimelech to become part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And as the women of Bethlehem said to Naomi later on in the book in chapter 4, they said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you without a redeemer. He shall be to you the restorer of life. And so to us, Christ is the restorer of life. He took the steps that looked like they would lead to a certain dead end at the cross and the grave. But He is risen in victory over our sins and over death. And His life has forged the way for us to do the same, to pass through death and the grave to our resurrection, and to be forever part of the family of His redeemed, heirs of His kingdom, secure in His arms, surrounded by the bounty of heaven. As Christians, we know exactly where our path is taking us. We may not always understand the twists and the turns, but this we know, that after all of the bitterness that is so often a part of this journey, after all of the plans that we make that fall to pieces, despite our disobedience even, and our inability to know what lies ahead, we know that God in His mercy is guiding us safely to His heavenly kingdom because of Christ, our Boaz, our Redeemer. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. And so let us pray. Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.